this may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Excelsior!
What day is Tuesday?
Oh,
it is your birthday. I'm pretty sure that was it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've been using this one for 8 months, so.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that new theme song smell to it anymore. You know what songs don't smell the same? All right. Christ. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Normally we have like a little something before we go into the news. Do we have that
today? Not all the time. Sometimes we just go, hey.
Sometimes we just like sit quietly for a minute and someone says news.
Yes.
And then we do news.
Yes. Want to do news?
News?
Current Zero News Flash.
One of the big things, Ben Affleck posted a video of a fully suited Deathstroke. And at first everybody was like, ooh, is this Justice League? Ooh, is he the villain now? Like, it's supposed to be Steppenwolf, I believe.
Right.
Is the main villain, but it's been, I don't know if it's totally confirmed or pretty much confirmed that he's actually going to be the main villain in the solo Batman movie.
Oh, okay. Oh. There was a lot of talk of that.
And he actually might be introduced, I guess, in the Justice League thing, and then that'll lead to the solo Batman.
Yeah, you should probably cram another guy in there.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, but you know, if you just do an intro thing, they have a Steppenwolf, maybe he's using Deathstroke in a way.
Sexually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Licking his sister on the face.
We'll get to it.
It'll make sense, I swear.
That's not a recurring thing.
No. Let's not. Please not make that a recurring thing.
Done.
No a problem.
Mm-hmm. What else? Marvel just released a teaser, although I think they're going to explain it before this gets aired. So it's a Marvel teaser, and it just says MU on it.
Right.
But they sent that out last week, and then this week they sent one with the same thing, but it had Cullen Bunn attached to it and Greg Land.
Oh, good.
In January 2017.
There's more, though. They have other teasers. It's the same thing.
Oh, really? That's all I've
seen. They've released more. One with Steve McNiven.
Oh.
And another with Adam Kubert. And
don't they do this? I think it's like every 4 months now.
Yeah, I know. It's something. It's very bare bones teaser. MU is like kind of metal looking.
Yeah.
And also it looks like there's some kind of like scratch marks on it. And also all of those artists have done Wolverine stuff in the past. So there's some speculation that
he's coming back.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Which I think would make sense. It's been enough time has gone by.
It's been at least a year.
It's been a couple years.
Yeah, I guess
really?
So.
At this point?
It's been a few years since he's. Yeah.
So, you know.
He'll be gone like almost two, maybe three? Has it been even three?
Yeah, I thought he was going to be back in time for Days of Future Past.
Well, yeah, they did a ton of other stuff.
Or not Days of Future Past. That other one that came out, that wasn't very good.
Apocalypse.
Want to narrow that down?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
No, I do not.
Yeah,
no.
Okay.
I got one. Apparently, and I guess it might be just sort of rumors for now, but there's a lot of talk going around, apparently. Well, there was talk about, you know, speculation of, like, Anna Kendrick playing Squirrel Girl, which is just fan talking online. But apparently it got to her, and she was like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. And a lot of people are saying that'd be really cool.
Well, oh, she's into it, so it's going to happen now.
Yeah, right. It's like Katie Sackhoff is Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
TV Line, though, is currently reporting that there are sources saying that ABC and Marvel Studios are potentially developing a new Warrior show, which would be a 30-minute comedy that focuses mainly on Squirrel Girl as a member of the New Warriors. Not strictly comic-related. That's more Great Lakes Avengers. But
yeah, I was like, that's a totally different group.
But apparently the phrase they're using is the junior version of the Avengers. Which really, if it's a comedy show, do the Great Lakes Avengers!
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's what they're doing, where Squirrel Girl might be headlining like a sitcom.
I think if it's a sitcom, get Kristen Schaal.
Yeah, that worked real well. But that's, or like, at least like an action comedy or something like that, I guess.
Also, do you know Ted McKeever?
Yes.
Artist?
He has officially announced that he is retiring from comics.
Oh.
Yeah, shoot.
That's not a thing that really happens. People just don't go until they drop.
Well, he's not quitting art because he's like one of those comic artists that he can do.
Yeah,
other stuff.
He's an Alex Ross.
He's a Bill Sienkiewicz-y kind of thing. He can do all this other stuff. So he's still going to do art, but he's not.
He's like a merc.
The stuff that I saw.
Take the compliment.
All right, Jeff. The stuff that I saw, my computer kept screwing up today, so I couldn't read the full interview. But what I saw, he was just kind of like, modern comics in the business. I'm really not enjoying myself, and I'm not getting anything out of this anymore. Sort of thing. So
he wants to make a little money, so he's going to be selling hot dogs outside the Subway.
Wait, what? Oh, I thought you meant like the restaurant.
Yeah, if you're done with your sub and you feel like a hot dog, he's your guy.
You know, I'm not quite full after that.
Yeah.
I could go for a hot dog. Ted McKeever.
Welcome to the warm-up.
So this week for the warm-up, I got a fun little quiz for you guys.
All right.
You're doing. Like quiz? Right. Well, it's kind of a quiz. It's similar to last time we watched a movie and made fun of it.
Right.
which is what we're doing this episode.
Oh, yeah.
The X-Men have gone through a lot of kids. Wolverine's gone through a lot of kids. But like, there seems to be a new crop of them every 3 to 5 years. And some of those characters last a while, and a lot do not.
Like, at one point, it was sort of like every sort of generation had to have their own team.
Yeah.
And then eventually, it was just literally like every time a new writer takes over, they had to do it. So, yeah. Okay.
Here's a new story arc. Here's 10 new kids.
Yeah, exactly.
How many will survive or just fall to the wayside?
It's mostly just that.
Yeah.
They wish they'd die.
So,
that'd be memorable.
I went to uncannyxmen.net, if you've ever been to that site. It's got like a whole bunch of character profiles and like long lists of stuff and long storyline recaps.
They like biographies that go on for page after page. It's very thorough.
I opened a tab for every single character that falls under X-Men student and nearly crashed my computer. So I've got a list here. I'm going to tell you some defining features, and you try to figure out what their code name was.
All right.
Who his character was. All right. So to start, bizarre physiology gives him heightened agility, abnormally large hands, and a rubbery body, allowing him to harmlessly absorb impact, rebounding from it to spring great heights and distances.
Oh, I thought I had it, but I totally... I can picture the big hand thing. I think I'm picturing skin.
You might be picturing skin.
Yeah. They often depicted him with huge hands.
Yeah.
How recent is this character?
This is about 5 or 6 years ago. For an added hint, he was on when all the different teachers had like their own teams. He was on Gambit's team. The Chevaliers.
Oh, well, I definitely would not have paid attention to anything with Gambit in it, so I don't know.
So this was Flubber.
Oh my god.
All right, then. And another, you know what? I had two from Gambit's team. The other one was Bling. But who gives a damn about Bling?
No one.
With an exclamation point.
I think I've heard of Flubber, but I've never heard of Bling.
No.
And probably rightly so.
Right, yeah.
All right. Let's see for another one. It's Cassandra Nova's BFF and the original Brain in a Jar from Hell.
Martha Johansson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No girl.
It was Martha Johansson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was during the Morrison run.
Okay.
Good times.
She's just a brain in the jar.
Yeah.
Floating around.
Yeah.
One of the five lights, this dog boy was actually super smart, kind of.
Oh, God, the five lights.
They're like Hope.
Yes.
I gave up on X-Men.
Yeah.
98.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Someone's at a disadvantage.
Then I picked it up maybe like...
Well, I'm sorry, because most of these are like...
Yeah, they're all going to be in.
This is just going to be a list of, like, garbage characters.
Yeah, yeah.
Dougie the dog-faced boy. I have no idea.
His name was Primal?
Okay.
Or
vaguely.
Or Teon.
Teon.
I don't know how to pronounce that. Hmm. All right. She's got magic. She's a mutant. She's a young female character that, surprisingly, Wolverine never really took under his wing.
Magic mutant. Oh, she a mutant?
And Nico was not magic.
It's not Nico, right? From Runaway, she wasn't a mutant.
No. Nico Case.
Pixie.
Oh, is it Pixie?
Remember Pixie?
Oh my god, right. Wasn't that like a big, she was like a teleporter too, wasn't she? So it was a whole like, oh, like Nightcrawler's going away now because he's, we don't need him anymore. We have a better teleporter.
She could just do everything. She
okay. Was just... Yeah, I people talked about Pixie, but I don't think I ever actually really...
She had a little soul dagger.
Yeah. Did she have like wings?
Yeah.
Had a soul dagger and some glowy wings and she teleported around. That's a pretty try-hard character, I think.
Sounds like a
your new favorite character. Bit of a
Mary Sue.
Yeah.
Let's see. Wallflower, nobody cares. Wallflower released pheromones from her skin that altered the behavior of people around her. Why is it like every...
It made none of them want to dance with her.
Every 10th character has pheromone control powers. There's too many of those. Why is that a go-to?
There is a... If there's that many of them running around, that is kind of dangerous to the public. That they're making a strong argument for mutants having to be registered.
Alright. Okay, I feel like this one... for this one I wrote down, she turns into a shark! This one's a fucking gimme.
Oh, Shark Girl.
Yeah.
I have to look these up.
I remember that. That was the Wolverine and the X-Men run, but Jason Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And thumbs up.
Relating to that... this short-lived X-Men character's claim to fame is getting ice cream with the Juggernaut.
Oh. Fish Boy?
Close. Real close.
Sammy? Wait, what?
Squid Boy.
Squid Boy! Dang it! Right, was his name Sammy?
Sammy Fair.
Okay.
You got crushed.
I got Sammy. I got Boy. Good enough.
Sammy Boy. Hey, Sammy Boy.
Yeah.
It's another Guthrie, and this one's got wings and some other stupid shit.
Oh, God. Was it Red Wings?
It was Icarus.
Oh, right.
It was, I think, well, Josh Guthrie.
Were the rings' wings red? Like, yeah. Literally, they were red.
Made of wax?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Made from the wax that you take off Baby Bell cheese?
Yeah.
Okay, I got two more.
Don't I feel like wax.
We're not keeping score on this one.
No.
Why would we?
It's fine. Don't give me the win.
This guy's just the worst. He's like the Beast, Quentin Quire, Cyclops, except he's an idiot and the worst, and I guess I don't like him.
Beast, Quentin Quire, Cyclops?
Well, he would be like the Beast to Quentin Quire's Cyclops. Say if he were Cyclops.
Oh.
Who would be his right-hand man, confidant?
Glob Herman.
Yeah. Just the worst character.
Yeah. Oh, he's just a dickhead.
Yeah. He's got no redeeming qualities.
Yeah, and even when Quentin Quire got redeemed, he just didn't, right? Yeah. Like he was just still just... the worst. Yeah. No, good point. He was terrible.
All right. Last one. He had an extra long neck, and then he got depowered on M-Day, and now...
Mechaneck.
Now I guess he's got an extra medium neck.
Mm.
Giraffe Boy.
He was, of course, Long Neck. Actual character.
Ugh. They really kind of stopped trying after a certain point, right?
Well, it was Long Neck and 4 pheromone control characters. And Forge.
So it was like a bunch of characters just fucking and then this guy with a long neck watching.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's gross.
Mm-hmm.
That's gross.
How long did that comic run?
Well, it said that he got depowered after M-Day, so I'm thinking, did his neck just, shrink? Or
just get really weak and
he was...
Yeah,
that was his only power.
Except the Long Neck. He's there to look over tall walls. Yeah.
So it's him and Mech and Neck, and they're just hanging out.
Yeah. You see that? No, I don't. Oh, now I see it. Okay. Funny.
He teams up with Tilt Head. They see it all.
Coincidentally, Tilt Head, I think, was a cinematographer.
You beat me to it.
All right. So
in a certain movie.
So that's it for the warm up. Let's get on to that.
Yeah.
That's a good segue.
We just watched Generation X. What year did that come out? What was that, 96 or 98?
Somewhere. I think that was 96.
96?
Yeah, so 96 or 97, somewhere around there. I remember, I might have been 13 when that came out.
And that was technically, like, it was a movie. I don't know if it was done as a movie pilot.
I think, well, like, that's what it was heard, is that it was, like, yeah. They were trying to, you know, let's make this into a...
it's a 96. TV movie.
Hmm. 96. Yeah.
TV movie kind of thing, let's...
As sort of, and then hopefully as a launch. Could potentially be a launch of a continuing thing. And I remember, like, reading Wizard Magazine as like, a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And being so excited for this. Just, I don't know why. I read Generation X the comic.
Yeah.
I was real excited for this. I was like, this is going to be great. And
it's going to have three characters I know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Weird choices were made in this thing. And I remember watching it and being young enough that I was just like, yeah, I hope there's more.
I'll take what I can get.
Pretty much, yeah.
I can't be choosy at this point.
No. They're not going to start making good things for a long time.
Like another 15 years.
Yeah, it'll take a while.
So who was actually, what were the characters in this? There was Emma Frost and Banshee and, running the school.
Right.
And just like the books.
Just like, yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
they even referenced the Hellions.
That is true, yes.
And they referenced...
you know what? For 96, like, a lot of people complain now that they're not true to the books. This was really pretty true. A lot of the stuff, well, it was horribly true in a lot.
In a lot of ways, yeah.
Horribly, like, terribly true.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, like, oh, that's exactly how Emma Frost dresses.
Yeah,
that's exactly her hair in real life.
Banshee wore those sweet vests that just went right down to crotch level.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised actually if I were to dig through some of the old comics. Chris Bachalo draw some of those.
Yeah.
they had Jubilee, of course. Who was weirdly white, like super white. All right.
But she had dark hair.
So close enough.
I mean,
and she had a yellow coat.
So what more do you want?
And lipstick.
And lipstick, yeah.
Like a human wears. She's like an alien pretending to be a human.
Well, she did the thing like in the cartoon where she was playing the arcade game and her powers went haywire and it like blew up the arcade machine.
Oh, you mean she was playing Virtua Fighter?
She was playing Virtua Fighter, which was only mentioned 17 times. Which really isn't, you know, it's not that bad. It's an hour and a half long. So.
Yeah, it's pretty okay, Virtua Fighter.
Yeah, that's not bad. Except in the cartoon. In that one, she just got basically accosted by a bunch of guards. In the cartoon, the manager came up and says, do you know how much those things cost? And she says, yeah, a quarter. And flips her shades down and just walks the fuck out of there. So, cartoon wins.
Yeah, but then she got jumped by a sentinel.
Well, that's true, but a sentinel's a lot cooler than, like, three guards.
But there was Matt Frewer ahead. You're not gonna win this
movie.
There was Matt Frewer ahead.
Matt Frewer's, like, head just awkwardly put on there and be like, play the game!
Play it again!
Play it again!
Play more!
SNK play more. I mean, Sega. Sega makes this.
Let me lick your face and play more.
Hey, where's your sister at?
we'll get to Matt Frewer
later. Oh, we will. Skin was also present.
Skin, it was mainly like as if Jubilee and Skin were the new kids that were brought into the school.
Yeah.
And kind of just learning about their powers and learning about the school. And
well, the rest were there, but like when they had scenes where it almost seemed like they were all new. Even though the other ones were clearly already there for a bit.
Yeah.
Like they knew each other.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not like they wrote a script.
Well, there was a...
There were parts.
There was Mondo.
Mondo, who's from the comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was... And M.
M.
Monet, yeah.
Was it actually Monet?
That was.
I guess that was actually her.
So really, most of them were from the comics. There were a weird couple other ones, though. And there was, what was her name in it? Arlie. I don't know what her code name was.
Paragon, I think?
Maybe. She was the one who was like, had like, you know, like muscular.
The buff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who hid her buff body underneath big bulky clothes.
And it feels like.
Who hid it under being Felicity.
It seems like she was like a Husk replacement.
Yeah, because when I first saw it,
they had the whole thing where she's sensitive about like her body issues, but I'm like, yeah, but if your skin is just like coming off, you know, you can't control your skin coming off, that would work just as well, and you'd be the character from the comics. But then again, that would need a budget.
That would need a visual.
It wouldn't need just awkwardly cut to like some beefy person wearing from behind for one scene. And then cutting immediately to her looking just like a regular person.
Yeah, because she's supposed to be super buff and cut. And then you can tell she's not super buff and cut. She's just a regular teenager size.
Yeah.
And then she takes her shirt off from the back and all of a sudden she's a bodybuilder.
Why didn't they just hire like a really buff dude?
Yeah.
Or a really buff lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Or a buff dude.
I mean, yeah, because you had the shot where you could like see like half of her like back or something. And it was clearly just normal. I'm like, does it just happen and then immediately go away? Like, it was not clear.
It fluctuates.
It only happens when you look at her and she doesn't have a top on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only time.
That's what happens to me.
Yeah. And the last one was
Dickhead Cyclops.
Yeah. Which is kind of like Cyclops.
Oh. But Cyclops is more of like a stiff, repressed dickhead. This is just like a douchebag.
Him and Mondo were kind of the bullies.
Like bleached hair, like flannel shirts with the arms like ripped off, douchebag. Maybe it was the style at the time.
I believe it was.
It was. Constantly had his Oakleys on.
Well, because he had laser eyes and he could also see through things because everyone's got to have double powers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. He had to keep the sunglasses on, but they didn't really. He didn't need to.
No. Yeah.
The sunglasses served no purpose.
At all. They were just, you know, Cyclops has
that. Oh, did we just assume that he had to keep the sunglasses on?
Maybe he's just a cool guy.
Yeah, that was all.
Yeah.
Sunglasses indoors, sunglasses at night.
Sunglasses in dreams.
So many dreams. So that is your main cast. And Dickhead Cyclops, like, he blew up a TV, like, just in their hangout room.
Yeah, and then they high-fived over it.
And they high-fived. The teacher came in, clearly saw this, was just like, yeah, whatever. But then they get into, like, a self-defense fight and get expelled for that. Destroying school property is A-OK. Then again, I guess it is an X-Men school, so I guess they're used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I liked their danger room. Which was
just
it was a big climbing gym.
Just a rock climbing.
A climbing gym with a rope with a log on it that he just happened to hit the button that released it. Hit Mondo in the head.
Yep.
Yeah, but he was fine. Because he was touching a rock wall.
Mm-hmm.
They had one of those, you know, those things, like those round, like, what do they call those things? With, like, gyro-y spinny things? Yeah, you know, you get in.
Gyro
like,
spinny things.
You, like, hold on to this and you're spinning around, like, one of those things. They had one of those in there, too, which
I didn't notice that.
One of them was in it. And well, then they cut to him climbing the wall.
That was a sex thing.
That was definitely a sex thing. Because what is that going to help you for in fighting? How is that training?
It's supposed to be for your getting your center of balance.
Well, fuck.
I just thought it was a
fun time.
Puke, Neil. Puke.
And he did.
He's gonna puke.
Well, yeah. Okay. So I guess I was wrong.
Now that we've established the characters, let's establish the plot.
It's an evil scheme to sell kids a particular kind of lipstick and virtual fighter.
We need to talk about Matt Frewer.
And he's the
Can we?
Can we please?
Oh my.
Top build in this cinema masterpiece.
Yeah, yeah. First name that came up, he insisted, look, I'm going to be the villain in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me, traditional good guy Matt Frewer, Max Headroom, I'm going to have top billing.
And he did.
And there was a flashback sequence.
Worked real hard for it.
Showing that his character and Emma Frost's character knew each other and developed a big dentist chair that goes to the dream dimension. And
which is the thing.
Yeah, of course.
Like you remember from those X-Men comics.
Yeah. And Emma Frost had those powers where she could...
It's just got real windy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gets windy. She points a finger.
Points just menacingly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Matt!
She did do a psychic trick at one point.
She did.
With that very timely Hootie and the Blowfish reference.
Yeah.
Where they were
Agent
Hootie and Agent Blowfish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which they had to repeat like four times because they were really impressed with themselves for making that reference.
If that movie had come out 2 years later, they would have been Mulder and Scully.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
It was Fox.
Yeah. It should have been, really.
So yeah, then it's Matt Frewer's character is angry at Emma and hates her because they had a big blowout. And he got fired because of it, but then he also... I don't even know what kind of group.
He was just like a marketing. It was like the evil marketing firm.
Yeah,
that's all it was.
It was
wearing like giant suit
secret society
suits.
Of evil marketers.
Baggy banana yellow suits. And just being a deranged lunatic in like a business meeting.
And he could enter people's dreams and influence them into buying some stuff.
Yeah.
Although they never really got into the fact that, can he enter it en masse? Like in everybody's dream?
Or is it one at a time? Like you said when we were watching it, every time you saw him, it was like he one at a time and he had to like spend a lot of time talking to people.
Yeah.
Like he's like, we're going to have a 10-minute scene where I'm just talking to you and trying to get you to do some stuff.
Buy Coke.
Yeah. So.
Or go to a meeting and fart.
Yeah.
That was a thing. I didn't make that up. No, that happened in the movie.
It was a,
everybody farted in
Everyone at the boardroom farted.
The boardroom in the airport.
In the airport, yeah. This massive airport boardroom. Which, again, they're so really concerned about profits to the point where they're entering people's dreams to get them to buy Virtua Fighter. But they're renting out airports.
A quarter at a time.
Yeah, but they're like, funding some guy building a psychic dentist chair and... renting an airport for a board meeting, like a routine board meeting. So, hey man, corporate lifestyle is a different thing.
These suits, they don't get it, man.
These giant bananas.
They don't know how to talk to Generation X.
Generation Pepsi. Anyway. So eventually Matt Frewer gets his dream mind self.
Caught in the actual dream.
Yeah, his body gets yanked out of the machine. So,
because Skin and Jubilee were interested in the dream machine that
because they also had one there.
There's a secret dream machine,
and without Emma knowing, they were screwing around with it. And
also Skin's a hacker.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how he found it
also, using their incredibly convoluted security system, which really just seems like it's what's the point of having one at that point.
And then Skin is also a creep because
he's dream stalking some girl he saw one time.
They went to the town and met the townies, and he kind of fell for some girl, and then he stalks her in a dream. And
he got his face smushed into a banana split.
Very unethical in the dreams. Yes,
very very much so. Yeah. Though he was. Sharing the screen with Matt Frewer.
So he seemed
like a pretty together guy by comparison.
That was the creepiest performance I've ever seen.
I never thought I would see so much of Matt Frewer's tongue.
Yeah. There was that, and then just like weird one-off lines of like, are you circumcised?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know where that... What? Okay.
I feel like they were letting him ad-lib.
Ah, yeah.
Like, let's just see what sticks.
And then
none of this sticks. Every scene is terrible. Every take is terrible. We have to use something.
Yeah.
You had mentioned, I think Kyle mentioned Jim Carrey. Which
he was
100%.
Very much.
Like that, we were in peak, that was like peak Jim Carrey at that point. It was 1996. Batman Forever had just come out. And I feel like that was a kind of an inspiration for sure.
I feel like they
was neon, crazy colors all over the place. Yeah. They even had
the color scheme was definitely that.
Even like the thing on the head and stuff. And he had the guy like jump out a window. Like there was a lot of watch Jim Carrey in Batman Forever and then make him look subtle by comparison.
Well, two things. I'm sure they hired him and said like, okay, we're hiring you to be poor man TV Jim Carrey.
He delivered.
And... like, speaking of the Batman influence, there was one shot that wasn't from a Dutch angle in this.
Oh, God, yeah. It was...
that was new. I counted one.
There was constantly, like, neon pink and green lighting. Like, and pink from one angle, green from another.
And I'm sure part of it is a little degradation of the video that just makes it kind of more glowy, but it must have still been super intense.
But it was weird, because it was, like,
harsh.
Outdoors... like vastly different sets all had that same like garish pink and green lighting. It was just like not like one office was lit in a particular way.
Everywhere.
It was like half of the movie.
Well, that was
bizarre.
It was like somebody came in and went, I like these colors. Let's just make the movie this.
My favorite, I like watermelons. Can there be more watermelons in this movie? Well, we can't put watermelons in.
I like limes.
You just sort of hear like... in the background of most scenes, because the director's just chowing down on some watermelons the whole time.
It was a subliminal ad for watermelons.
Yeah, really, they gotcha.
Buy more watermelons.
That time when Matt Frewer's face popped in the middle of the screen. Buy more watermelons.
Virtual Fighter.
You thought you imagined it. You didn't.
And then there's a point where Matt Frewer's character is
I guess we should find out what that character's name is. Or
no,
it's okay, just we're Matt just calling him Matt
Frewer. Matt Frewer? No, I remember his name, and I remember it from being 12. But or 13, however old I was. But it's Russell Tresh. Because he called himself Russ a lot, too.
Okay.
Which is, that's always a good sign. If somebody named Russell calls themselves Russ, you should not trust them.
Keep calling him.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. But he's trying to convince
Skin
to help him.
Get his body back.
You need to put my dream mind back into my body. You need to break into this minimum security place where my body's being held. No, I won't do it. Come on, kid. No. All of a sudden pulls his little sister up out of nowhere and then is creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
And this is like a 12-year-old sister. This is like a child. It's not cool.
He says he's going to mind rape her.
Yes.
And then proceeds to lick her face.
Like, just full on, you saw that.
There was like a couple of weird use of words. Like that. Like, we were stunned.
We were all stunned.
It's a TV movie. And then all of a sudden, Jubilee was the first one that her and Skinner just sitting beside each other talking. And all of a sudden she goes, I don't know what the fuck is going on. This fucking
She just dropped an F-bomb.
And we were like, everyone just stopped and looked at each other.
Unless it was like a really weird line that just sounded a lot like it. But it seemed pretty clear.
But then
you're kind of fucked up, right?
And then they say asshole later. And you gotta remember, this is mid-90s.
Yeah.
You can hear it's that on TV. Now. It's on TV now.
It's on prime time television in the 90s. And like, yeah, even this is like stuff that you couldn't get away with on Fox now.
Yeah.
So that's really strange.
Yeah.
And again, yeah, just references like, yeah, again, like some little terms that are just like, oh, what? Why? Why would you say that?
Yeah. I'm gonna mind rape a little girl,
sister. That's really what you...
Yay.
Very uncomfortable for all the parties involved.
It was.
I'm afraid to sleep now.
Yeah.
You know what I would like to see?
What?
Is part two of that.
Oh, no.
But use all the same actors. Just bring them back now.
Right now.
And right now.
Yeah.
And have them, don't explain that they're 20, why they're 20 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
And just play it as if.
Sort of like a wet, hot American summer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone just keeps going.
That's great. Jubilee is 42 years old. Still a high school student.
Still cute.
She's got two kids with her because she couldn't find a sitter. But they don't write the kids into the...
No, she just got them. Like,
they just don't explain them the whole time.
Like, there's no... They don't have enough... She's not getting paid enough to pay or hire a babysitter. Yeah, so they're on set.
The guy that played Banshee is dead.
There's just a cardboard cutout with a bullhorn attached to the face.
They drape vests on the cardboard cutout.
They just put new vests.
They use these vests.
Yeah. They've been in wardrobe for 20 years. This is the 20th anniversary of this movie.
Hey, that's why we're watching it.
Yeah. This is the most, and this podcast is probably the most anyone celebrating that fact.
And nobody on set talks to Frewer because they were just still so creeped out from 20 years ago.
Good lord, no.
Come on.
You licked my sister, man.
It wasn't really your sister. And she's...
No, it was my sister. They couldn't afford anybody else.
She was visiting the set.
Yeah. Worked it into the script. Come on.
So Skin agrees to help Matt Frewer out. Matt Frewer gets superpowers and somehow becomes a mutant.
He got the X factor.
Oh, and like all mutants are psychic, apparently. Like all mutants have psychic powers.
Just a little
deep
bit.
Deep down.
Or they can access this dream dimension.
They're dream warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they fight Freddy and they get all the souls of their friends to help them.
Uh-huh.
And then he shows up in that waterbed. And I'm recapping the fourth Nightmare on Elm Street now.
And Johnny Depp.
I used to have that box set.
And then Sweet Chuck shows up.
Yeah. Sweet.
Michael Winslow's making sound effects. Just every movie.
Everyone. Combined.
So they all...
There's a point during watching Generation X where you just start thinking about other movies. It's just wish.
Oh,
wish.
Sure could go for that Matthew Broderick Godzilla right now.
Do we get to the point where he somehow kidnapped Skin?
Yeah, that's never explained. Skin just shows up in the next scene with a ball gag in his mouth.
Yeah, like he goes to this prison hospital, insane asylum, whatever the hell it was. It was described as like three different things, so who knows. And he uses the machine to get him out of the dream dimension, which he was in because he was trying to like help skin, you know, brainwash that woman into being his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then they tried to, they pulled him out of the machine and like skin grabbed him so he couldn't be pulled back into his body. So it's kind of his fault to begin with. And he probably just, you know, should have said left him there and left him at that. But here we are. Stop using the stupid dentist chair. Jesus. So yeah, so he uses the machine to get his mind back into his body and then they breaks out of the...
Cut to...
Insane asylum. Yeah, and he just sort of grabs him. And then immediately he's like strapped into a torture chair and he's like...
It's a very different kind of sexy chair.
Yep, got a ball gag in his mouth. He's strapped in there, but it's like... Matt Frewer at this point is just a regular middle-aged man. And one, skin, even if he didn't have superpowers, could probably deal with that problem. If he really wanted to.
My explanation was the whole little sister thing. He was still threatening the sister in some...
But he's not in the dream world anymore. He had no powers.
But he did.
Did he?
Yeah, like when he
came, still
when
enter
he came
it.
Back, he had like, he had
more
powers.
I guess
powers.
So. I guess he did. But did Skin know that?
I feel like we are giving this movie too much credit.
We're trying to apply logic to a movie with
he
none.
Was, he was just so creepy that he's like, okay, just don't look at me.
Yeah, fair enough.
Don't, like, if you will not, if you promise not to make, you know, like, maintain long eye contact with me, just, then I will do whatever you want.
If you promise.
I will tell you if I'm circumcised.
Then
the team shows up.
They had been expelled, like, 2 minutes prior, and now they're a team. Now they're proud of them. They're expelled to being like, I'm proud of you kids, you guys are amazing, let's go into the dream dimension. And fight.
Let's go to the smoke room.
Yeah, let's go into the smoke room and
try not to asphyxiate
and then fight Max Headroom as Freddy Krueger. And
they won.
There was some of the worst effects. Even for 1996 television, some of those were pretty bad.
To be fair, that was the most effects that happened that whole movie.
That's true. You had bad green screen, like you. There was a point where Max Frewer got Banshee voice, like yelled him. He crashed through a wall, and you saw like the dream dimension-y thing with like its spirally.
It's like
pathways. It sort of seemed like they were almost like getting under like a Ditko Doctor Strange.
I was thinking a Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
here's all the pathways.
Just, you know, not as good, but I mean that. The fact that like it reminded me sort of like Steve Ditko Doctor Strange is easily the best part of that movie. And then his hand reaches up and it's normal, and then like a giant green screen head, but it's like faded. It's just like so bad, like it doesn't even match the skin tone of the hand.
I like that it was a giant head and a little tiny hand.
Yeah, it was cute. And he was going on about
the
being
hand was
a
black.
God now.
So then they defeat him.
Yeah,
and then
skin like grabs him and gives him a super stretchy hug, and then jumps.
And he sacrifices himself. To try to take through.
Until how does he unravel himself that quick? Because he reaches back up and because
he wrapped
himself.
Around,
which
like
is funny because it's
times.
Like every
like
other time he used his power, he was like his arm stretched a couple feet. He'd be like,
he was
screaming.
Agony.
It was agony. Oh my god!
And that's the point of like the character in the comics twist. Is that he was in pain when he used his powers, right? Yeah. Like so, it's like, oh, okay, that's a nice touch. It makes him different than Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah,
and then no, he's just Mr. Fantastic now.
Yeah, yeah. So then he falls down into another dimension, but has long enough stretch powers in order to get his hand back up. And
then they have a bit of a group hug.
Yeah,
they go back into the smoke room.
Yeah, then they go back and what's her name gets a costume.
Yeah, not Husk gets
not
a costume.
Husk, yeah, not Husk.
And it's
not
actually Husk. That was I mean like it's a you know TV budget kind of cheesy looking, but that was pretty damn close to the comic costume.
It was.
It was pretty much right out of the comics. So the belt buckle was incredibly shiny.
And that was pretty much the only time she did anything.
Really, yeah.
She
was present.
She threw him once in the final attack, but she didn't really do anything.
Yeah. But nobody really did anything.
I guess
no.
Nobody did. No.
They had little things. Yeah, like I was wondering what like Dickhead Cyclops said. Refrax. His name was Refrax, right. But I don't think they ever actually said it in the movie.
No.
Refrax.
I definitely read that in Wizard magazine, where they were like breathlessly writing about how this was going to be like, be a TV series.
This is
going to
change everything.
Yeah. Yep. And he had his blue eye lasers and he knocked a pipe down at one point.
Bonked him on the head.
Bonked him on the head.
Instead of shooting him directly with the eye laser.
Yeah, yeah. No. Well, you could have just killed him. That would have been fine.
He assumed there was something in the pipe that could have taken him out, like a bag of cats or a bunch of sisters. I don't know.
It's a lava. It's a lava pipe.
A bunch of sisters fall out. He's just like, I'm too busy licking. Distracted by those sisters.
Must lick everything. Oh,
can't lick them all.
Just goes full Master Roshi. His nose is pouring blood everywhere.
Chokes on his own tongue.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be good.
So, weird that the didn't get a TV show out of that.
No, that was... But I mean, like, how are you going to work Virtua Fighter into every single episode of a TV show?
Well, every season would be a different Sega franchise.
That's true.
I mean, you know...
There's got to be an entire season of... In some other universe.
Wait,
like,
a second.
Season 3 of Generation X is just all about Phantasy Star Online.
I feel like Meferu's character returns. Whole season's based around Nights into Dreams.
So. Oh, there you go. That's a pretty good one, too. That's a... That, damn,
that would have made
sense. That's appropriate.
Virtua Fighter makes no sense.
Not at all.
Maybe on, like, a Mojo season.
Can we... We got to go back in time 20 years and get in on this.
Here,
we would not make it any better.
No, no.
But we would at least make it a little more
appropriate. We should just do low-budget versions right now.
It would be much better.
Starring us.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who gets to be him?
Who's Matt Furrer? Who can get Zany?
I think you just won.
God damn it.
Yay.
I'm pretty sure we can get the same wig that Emma Frost had for about $5 at the Halloween store about a block away.
Yeah. So, I'm Emma.
Yeah, and you could just wear some, you know.
Yep. I'm keeping the beard, though.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. You must do that.
You have to.
Must do that. Just do something with the neck. I got to work on my neck game with the veiny neck game. Yeah. There's some weird stuff going on with Matt Brewer's neck.
That was not a real human neck.
No.
That was makeup.
That was the best special effect in the entire movie. And I'm pretty sure that was just him.
It looked real. And so
it was a real yucko.
That's some good neck acting to Matt Brewer. So all in all.
A plus
for sure.
All right. Okay. A plus.
That was very, it's worth watching because it's just nuts.
I don't think any of us shies away from watching the horrible stuff, so it's...
No.
Yeah, I enjoyed it on that horrible level.
Yep.
And I think we've mentioned this before. I've seen it. I saw it when it first... You saw it when it first came out.
Oh, yeah. No, I watched that live.
Oh, did you see it? I don't know if you had, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw only...
At least three people watching.
I think I only saw, like, a few minutes when it first came out, and then I wasn't sure until tonight if I had tracked it down in between, but I think I did.
So what are the pros? Or did we sort of cover that already? Are there any? Again, it had that Ditko thing.
It was better than nothing.
Yeah.
You know what? Like that would have been
the mighty number 9 seal of approval.
For 90s, like more updated comic TV shows. Like otherwise, you're going back to Wonder Woman and Incredible Hulk,
right,
and that sort of thing. It was an attempt. I think that was the only one other than cartoons.
It was an attempt.
Well, no, but that's...
Oh, yeah.
You got to break ground somewhere.
Yeah.
And you're generally not going to get out of the park.
I recall it being, kind of a big deal. Not like a big deal, but I mean, like, people were kind of, you know...
I don't know if you remember me.
It wasn't exactly...
kind of a big deal.
It wasn't exactly under the radar.
It's me, Banshee.
Did you know I'm Scottish?
I thought it was funny. Like we had pointed out, they clearly mentioned Xavier's school. I don't know if they mentioned Professor X by name or anything like that, but
no, they just
clearly
said
like they're in that universe. But there was like an X-Men arcade machine in the background of one scene, and
Reef Rex was wearing a Wolverine shirt.
Yeah, it just had like Art of Wolverine on it. Oh, and in the credits, I noticed Jubilee's dad was named Jim. Jim Lee. Little references. I'll give them that.
They were cute. Stanley didn't show up at any point. That's okay.
That's fine.
This generation. Ech.
Stanley was her grandfather.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. There it is. There it is. Yeah.
Wait, Stanley is Jim Lee's dad?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Moment of zero. 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 Zero.
As I mentioned a lot, while I'm working, I'll just throw on a movie. just have it kind of playing on the background.
While yeah, but you stuff. Make us watch this crap.
Dude, this is your idea. I know. This is all your idea. Yeah. But today, as I was scrolling through what was available for me to watch somewhere, I won't say where, I saw...
X-Videos?
Yes. cool. A new Batman video, or a new Batman animated video that turns out, as I looked it up, it came out today. It's part of the Batman Unlimited, which I didn't realize is actually a series of movies. This is the third one.
This is like the one with like the jungle powers and
well, there's and there was Batman Unlimited Animal Instincts.
Right.
Okay. And then there was also Monster Mayhem, which I'd never heard of that one. I heard of the Animal Instincts one, but not the Monster Mayhem.
Yeah.
This one was Mechs versus Mutants. And I haven't seen the other one, so I'm guessing that they all kind of have like a bunch of characters, but it's like Batman and Damian Robin. Nightwing is in this one, as is the Flash, Green Arrow. I call him Pacific Rim Bat Job.
What? Go on.
It's a huge bat robot. That's clearly a Pacific Rim ripoff.
With a couple
of
little ears.
It just looks like Batman, yeah. And it's like
that the Jim Gordon Batman, like
the Tick.
The Mecha Tick costume.
But it's basically
it's based on those toys, isn't it? Like he looks more like they had that weird design. Like
they're
toys.
All redesigned. Yeah, all weird designs.
Weird designs because they had like years, not that many, but like a couple of years back, they had like a toy line that had like he had like a weird bat symbol. He's got bats like bursting out of the
It's like it comes from the shoulders and makes a V down to like the belly button, which is blue.
Yeah,
and then there's like the bat symbol over top, but it the yellow bursts out of that.
Yeah, it's super toyetic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really what it is. I mean, it's kind of just like you making these things. And
I don't mind that at
supporting
all.
Supporting a toy line.
Yeah.
The main villains are, oddly, Penguin and Mr. Freeze. Mr. Freeze being, like, he's like a genius and kind of a mad scientist-y thing, but he suddenly starts creating extra large monsters in this one.
Okay.
And
I'm following.
It's this weird thing. Like, basically, there's like the actual battle, good guy versus bad guy thing. But the whole movie is all about Damian feeling sad, and he wants to drive the Batmobile.
Okay.
Through the whole thing. Can I drive the Batmobile? Oh, I did really bad last time we fought Joker, and I fell off a building, and it was caught on video. And, oh, I feel really bad. Oh, I'm not doing good, and Batman's really upset with me. There's a lot of that. A lot of that.
So
that really doesn't sound like Damian.
I know it doesn't sound like
Damian.
How
old is he in this?
He's a little bit older. It seems like he's okay. He looks.
So is he old enough to drive the Batmobile?
He looks mid-teens-ish. But at one point, I guess he's like trying to brush up on all of Batman's villains, and he's going through all the files and doing studying, and then to figure out who's who. And he's like, who is this guy, Oswald Cobblepot? And he goes, oh, it's the Penguin. He's like, how come I've never heard of him? And Batman says something like, I
shot him right in the face.
I made sure he's out of town or something like
that. Give me those pearls, Penguin.
But he made sure that like I sent him away. I sent him far away. Yeah. Something like that.
We don't talk about him.
But then they cut and it's
Penguin next door.
He's in his own cave. The Penguin Cave.
Yeah.
And it's Penguin and Mr. Freeze in the Arctic.
Kissing.
Well, it's Penguin at first, and it's him talking to his psychic Penguin.
Like, an actual Penguin.
Actual Penguin. And then
does he ever rock?
But
like
he kind of makes
it
sound like he's like, oh, I've been ditched here. I've been abandoned here by Batman, and I'm in the Arctic, and I can't get out. And then all of a sudden, Mr. Freeze walks in, and you realize that there's all these computers there. And I'm like, okay, how... You're stuck there, but you happen to have all this access to all this computer and gear and stuff.
Send some more emails.
Can't make a truck out of computers, man.
Well, but then then it's like Mr. Freeze is just trying to... He wants to get away from humanity and be isolated. Why won't the humans leave me alone? So then it turns out that there's some Arctic mining or something going on in the air. Like, you're trespassing! And he makes these giant monsters and starts sending them after the miners, and that doesn't work. It fails.
And the Scooby Gang shows up.
Yeah, that's basically it. And then Penguin, he wants to get back to Gotham, and he says, I know what we can do, but we have to go back to Gotham to make this plan real. And it turns out
Mr. Freeze has the ability to
just go.
Yeah, he's got like transportation and they can go. So I'm not really sure how Batman got rid of him to go to the Arctic and become roommates with Mr. Freeze.
Why don't you just put him in jail?
I know. I'm like, this doesn't make sense at all. I don't know what's going on. So then they break into Arkham and then they steal. They break Bane out, Killer Croc, Clayface, and Chemo? I don't know if
he's like a radioactive guy.
Yeah. But does he even talk usually?
You know, kid-friendly character, Chemo.
Yeah. He's a glowy green guy that's just like radioactive, toxic stuff.
Sometimes he gets and dropped on the city. Sometimes he wipes out a city.
And basically just they makes them into big things and they destroy the city and then Penguin turns on Mr. Freeze. But it's everybody's.
And becomes best friends with Damien. And they drive the Batmobile together.
It's a weird one.
I got a new dad now.
And Damien Cobblepot. Oh, that's the worst name. No one's going to kiss you.
When Killer Croc is first made into like this giant creature, and it's literally a total Godzilla ripoff. There's somebody in a fishing boat. And then the water starts to kind of ripple and it gets closer. Yeah. And all of a sudden the big head comes up. But he...
I'm sure that scene was like the most fun anyone involved in this movie had.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Just doing Godzilla.
But he takes a big gulp of water for some reason. And then goes... And this like beam of ice comes out. But whatever. Okay, yeah. We'll go with it. And then people are walking around Gotham. It's the middle of summer. And all of a sudden it starts to snow. And then everybody walking around Gotham goes, and they stick their tongues out and they start collecting the snow. And I'm like, oh, that just came out of Killer Croc. Does that taste okay?
Salmonella?
He's a super guy.
Oh, God.
No,
this makes any damn sense at all.
There wasn't. When they were breaking
it. It's almost like the writers think that children are stupid.
So, better or worse than Generation X? Different.
Better production.
More consistent.
Yeah.
Trying to sell you less 1996 Sega games.
Uh-huh. Virtua Fighter.
Yeah.
And then there was also the question of when they break into Arkham. Every supervillain, and they do that, and this isn't just this one movie.
No, this happens all the time. Every fourth Batman movie.
Where they break into Arkham and everybody's in costume.
Why is everybody always in Arkham at the same time when that happens?
It's really making the argument that Gotham's usually very safe.
Yeah.
If they're usually all locked up. They get broken out every fourth movie.
But like Bane was, obviously he's strapped down so he can't move. But he's got all his gauntlets and his backpack and all the stuff in. You're like,
he's got the venom.
Would you not take that away from him? That's his only power.
You would think.
Then you could just put him in a cage and he'd be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like taking Riddler's notebook away. Mm-hmm. I've got all my best riddles in there.
You're insane!
Or Penguin's umbrella.
Yeah.
His monocle.
Yeah.
They just,
without my monocle, I'm powerless!
They walk in circles!
To get it away from him, they said something shocking, and as soon as it popped out, they just caught it.
You're mine!
I never, oh no!
Yeah, I think that's pretty much all.
I think we just wrote a better Batman movie. Alright, that was an episode. Watch Generation X, play Virtua Fighter, wear lipstick at all times.
And get your autograph poster of Matt Frewer.
Oh, please do. Are you kidding? That would be up in an instant. Man is my favorite character actor.
Go to a con where you see him and then you get a picture taken. You'd be like, lick my face, lick my face.
Oh, I would.
I'm a sister.
And and he would know.
Lick me like a sister.
Lick me like a sister. Oh. You get a t-shirt that says that?
No,
Matt Frewer, lick
normally
me like a sister.
We say who we are at the end. We're not doing that now. We lost that privilege.
Let's not put our names on this one.
All right.
That's fine.
Come back next week. Bye-bye.
Please?